listening to the show today, Drew. I was appalled at the fart sound effect they used because it didn't sound real.
No, it's maddening.
And then I was amazed that 97.1 was playing a fart sound effect.
What? What show?
Carson Anderson.
Really?
I thought they were hacked. I thought they were hacked.
Our last 20.
Doug was very uncomfortable playing it.
The last 20 that are in our system, they're all listener farts.
Oh, gross.
Well, to have a bad fart on a radio show is irresponsible. There's great new farts being made every microsecond.
I agree. I was appalled. It sounded
so lazy. I would fire someone if they played a bad fart sound effect.
Or a canned one.
Yeah, or like a
hand.
That's what it sounded. It sounded like a.
Oh, that's out of their so mouth. Weak.
And then Doug put a stop to it. I don't think it was a story about him, and I missed the beginning part because I was like, the only thing I could think was. Doug shit his pants. Which I want to hear that story, and they went on talking about Beeline. I want to hear about Doug shitting his pants.
It's one of Bentley's.
I'm worried about that guy.
All right, the best of you and Mike. That's great. Brought to you by Realtor Scott Kunith, the rising star of Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual. To see what your home is worth or help in finding your new one, 248-797-7746. You can text Scott, and you can talk and drops to Scott. You can do anything with Scott. Almost Scott. 248-797-7746 or skunith at CBWM. And if you want to refer somebody, people have referred friends, kids, all kind. I mean, if you people listening, we had a lot of 45 to 54s. They got kids who are in the business of buying homes or looking
for 45. Jim Price Jr., 12-year-old Jim Price
Jr. Yeah, Jim Price Jr., he'll be in the market soon. Hopefully his dad will refer him to Scott Kunith. Scott's things have been going well. Springtime came, and all of a sudden his phone started ringing. Wait, he was getting a lot of dumb phone calls. Just nobody's ready to pull the trigger. Now the trigger pullers are calling, and so it's working out really well for him, and I'm glad because, you know, he was sort of unceremoniously left the radio business, and he's a good sales guy, so this worked out well for him. I'm glad. Glad he's on the show.
Nice.
And I was just reading, you know, I love when people are moved to tears. Elton John and the guy who's playing him in Rocket Man.
Got it on.
No. They may, though, because they performed at the Cannes Film Festival together, and I guess they're... It sounds like they might be falling in love. If I were... What's
Bernie?
No, not Bernie.
Not David Furtish.
David Furtish. David Furtish might be very jealous because Elton John and Taron Egerton were moved to tears when they got a standing ovation and performed an emotional duet at the star-studded Rocket Man premiere after party at the Cannes Film Festival.
Taron Egerton, he's the guy that does the Kingsman movies, too.
Yeah.
Isn't he the guy playing Elton John in Rocket Bad?
Amazingly, too.
Burden like, out his fuse up. They're alone.
Can you see him being boofed to tears? I mean, were there actually a tear boofing down his face?
I think as the applause got louder, the tears started tumbling down harder.
Tumbling. And the tears.
Is this the performance?
Yeah.
I think that's Taron Egerton.
He's trying to be too sexy with it. Wouldn't it be better if William Hung played him in the movie?
Oh, hell yes.
That'd be a great hate watch.
I don't think Elton would be boofed to tears.
I don't think this is worthy of a standing ovation that would move someone to tears.
Yeah.
I want to hear Elton by himself.
My bus last night. 0 hour.
I kind of like this.
9 a.m.
What time?
9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a sky by then.
Sing about being high as a kite.
You a big William Hung fan?
I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife.
Oh, knock it off, Paul.
It's lonely.
Let's hear Elton get moved to tears here. He starts singing. Let's see.
That's because it's about him.
I'm already questioning the casting of this guy.
I think the casting's fine.
I lot of piano.
It's a lot of tickling of those ivories.
This is not tear moving to worthy.
No.
Do you suggest there's some hyperbole by the author that they really weren't moved to tears?
Whoa, what? Is this clickbait?
Maybe.
Damn it!
I do sit at the piano and do lots of work, yeah.
Here's the very end. Ooh, they're zooming in on their tears.
Wait, did Alt John sing it all? Was that just Alt playing piano? Is that what they called a duet? Alt on piano and Tara singing?
Oh, they're kissed.
He played the hell out of that piano, though.
They made out?
Yeah, they're still going at it.
David Furnish is going to lose it.
He is going to give Elton the silent
Listen
treatment.
This man, motherfucker, play those keyboards.
David Furnish is going to give Elton the silent treatment. It's so weird. I don't know why.
If I was David Furnish, I would be so angry.
Elton, Reginald, is there anything you'd like to tell me? Is that his name? Is it Reginald?
It is. Reggie.
Brandon has a 1-800 number. There's apparently someone whose Apple service has been compromised.
Just came in, too.
What? Their what service?
Their Apple service has been compromised.
I'd like to hear that guy work a telemarketer phone.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know, this call's being recorded. How may I help you today?
That'd make it a lot easier to relate to those people you have to talk to.
I think you might be.
Welcome to Apple. Your call may be recorded for quality assurance. I'm an automated system that can handle complete sentences.
Oh,
so tell me, how can I help you today?
Is this really Apple?
I'm an automated response system designed to help you with all your Apple needs. So, what can I do for you?
Do you think Elton John and Taryn, whatever his name is, should have been moved to tears after doing Rocket Man?
You broke him.
Please give me just a moment. Oh. I heard what you said, but I need a little more information. Are you calling for tech support, sales, order support, or how else can I help you?
They were playing at the Cannes Film Festival. Does that help? Is this Apple?
It is.
I think it might.
It is Apple?
Legit.
Wait. Are you Apple or what?
Who is this person that sent you the number? They really just want us to take care
of
the problem.
Don't. Apple doesn't want you to call them, don't they?
I'm sorry, but it doesn't sound like you're speaking to me. Please hold while I transfer your call to a specialist.
Rabbit ears. Rabbit ears Apple.
Is this Apple?
I'm mad.
Thank you for contacting Apple support. Please hold for an Apple advisor.
Definitely Apple.
Apple is happy to offer a choice of music while you wait.
When I call Apple,
for a selection of modern popular music, press 1.
They do
this. For classical, 2. For jazz, 3.
But usually when I call Apple,
iTunes. Well, maybe they're imitators to it.
When I call Apple, they say, give us your number.
I would like John doing a duet at the Cannes Film Festival.
I want to be moved to tears.
Something tear-worthy, tear-moving, moved to tears-worthy. I don't know how to say that. I don't want to say that.
Elton John.
Something vocal fry worthy. Yellow.
Yeah.
I don't even have a fucking computer.
This is a real call. We don't want to.
It is.
I mean, what am I going to do? Make sure it's Apple?
Tell him to butt plug his computer.
No, the problem is if I respond to this person and say, by the way, that was Apple, and then they call him and they get scammed, then I'm a dick. I feel like I have to.
What did the email say?
It said that Apple was telling them their phone was compromised.
Hmm. Oh, then this wouldn't really be Apple.
Hey, man, you done with that Apple car?
Oh, I'm done with that fart. Want that?
That's what it comes back to.
Are we on hold?
No, not anymore.
Okay. Oh. Okay. All right. Well, that didn't. That didn't work out too well. That didn't work out too well.
I love
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
He really tried.
Well, first part was okay. Well, the second part was
good, though. The second part wasn't good at all. Okay, great. But the first part was wonderful. It was on point. Okay, you want me to continue, or should I just be embarrassed myself in private? Okay.
See how good American Idol was when they had the bad people in?
Funny stuff. No doubt.
I love the artificial intelligence, though, answering phones these days.
Yeah.
Where they almost have it nailed. Almost, not quite, but.
Well, you know, when they go, RS.
I know. I think I'd rather talk to
computer.
Or when they say, you lick your mama pussy. When are they going to have that AI? The asshole.
I know. These guys, they're amazing. They're just going,
you
yeah, we're
dish.
We're bigger dicks than you ever dreamed.
You vish. That guy's that favorite like game is go vish.
H-U-G-H-V-I-S-H.
Wait,
my name is Hugh Vish.
I should have moonlighted as one of those guys.
You should have, Hawk.
Oh, Hawk, you moonlighted?
You wish.
Hawk needs, you know, like a message service, you know, like Cameo, only Hawk.
You wish.
Oh, shout outs from Hawk?
Yeah.
Wow. Real vulgar ones.
That'd be cool, huh?
Hell yeah.
Start his Instagram.
What would you charge, Hawk?
$10.
$10 for Hawk?
Oh, you're shit. A physicist.
That's way
you're
too
also
low.
Dead, so it's an inconvenience.
Your deal.
Your computer, expensive.
Not to mention getting a response from Hawk.
That's pretty cool.
Insane. Everyone knows Hawk.
He'd put more effort into it than Brian Austin Green.
Send me pics of bitches, and I will send you a message.
Next thing you know, Hawk's going to be on Snapchat asking for nudes from 14-year-olds.
Gyrating phones.
Yes, exactly. He's going to be the new influencer.
It's so funny, this physics genius.
Fuck yeah.
This physics genius, he doesn't really want a traditional table dance. They've got to be gyrating because he loves the centrifugal force of the gyration.
Yeah. Very science-y.
He likes gyroscopes. And
move them titties.
Keeps everything even.
He sees a car going around a turn and the centrifugal force going off the road as the woman's gyrating.
Boing.
They turn into a fast-moving car.
Rock hard.
So horny, too. That was the amazing thing about him.
He's hot. I was
damn riot.
I was looking for the... there's apparently going to be a story out about Miguel, the man, Cabrera, who, by the way, couldn't make it the night I went against Verlander. That's the second game against Verlander.
He's scared.
Yeah. Ooh. Miguel's being a baby. No, he hurt his knee, allegedly. He has one home run in 40 games.
Oh, that's great.
So it's the guy behind him's fault, of course. Mm. Not his fault. And apparently there's an update in this whole Florida mess.
Yeah, to his advantage, it sounds like.
What?
So maybe we'll start hitting home runs.
It was interesting that they said he had to pay off the house because that's like the chick owed like $800,000 on it.
Yeah.
Like, you can buy the house. Look at you. Come on, Miggy. Pony up. But the idea that, you know what, $20,000 a month, and you can spend it however you want. You don't have to count for shit. It's basically saying, yeah, you banged a big leaguer and it pays because he's got to pay for everything for the kids. I mean, it's all listed separately. And you just live on the $20,000 and your flower shop, fuck it. Oh, you already said fuck it. That's okay. And the flower shop he bought you.
Oh, that's right.
Everybody knew that was a joke. So let's just let it be the joke it is. Just burn it down, whatever you want to do, and spend the $20,000 however you want. Pretty good deal. But apparently it's been may have been modified.
Start hitting some
Yeah, that could get him hot. You're right.
Yeah, the pressure's off. Remember that bad year Prince Fielder had?
Yes, kids, man.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the worst excuse.
That was weird.
That whole time was weird. He was so good for those 2 years.
It was.
I can't believe he's done.
Yeah, his neck.
It's funny, too. I remember this, like, 9 years for, or 7 years, was it? 7 years?
Yeah.
7 years for that fat ass. I was going to make it 7 years. And I'm thinking, who cares? He's good now. And like 2 years later, he's out of the game.
And then remember the bitching about the trade where we got Kinsler? Which
I know.
Worked out.
I think the Tigers are still paying him like $7 million this year.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, my God.
Prince Fielder,
that
he's my age. Son of a bitch, $250 million in earnings.
Can't hit a ball.
Wow.
Well, he had injury problems at the end. He can hit a ball, he can hit it far, too.
Yeah, but you can't. That's why.
I can hit the wiffle ball
You're right.
Pitcher of the year.
That's true.
Was that on the air when we were talking about that?
Yeah, it was on the air.
Yeah, we did. I think we during a break went out and swung away.
No. I mean, when we talked about you hitting the home run, that was, and then Tom said he had the wiffle ball. That was, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
You know the Who thing with the kitty toys?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There were a bunch of. Were there any others worth looking at?
Boy, I don't know.
Alan's done a bunch of those.
I remember Carly Rae Jepsen was like the first one.
Oh boy.
Whatever happened to Carly Rae Jepsen?
She has a new record out.
What?
I was reading about it going, it's good.
Should you call me maybe part two?
No.
The
text me maybe.
Supposedly a good song on there.
Text me titties.
This was a good one.
Oh, Metallica?
Oh, that's right. Metallica.
Lars is too into it.
Why is that so much fun to watch?
I think of Petty, an instrument he had to blow into and he has to sing.
Yeah.
I'm going to play that version.
Well, anytime you want to come over and play Annie's drum, go. Just come on.
Oh.
She's got a little drum. She likes to sit there and bang it nonstop.
She likes your drum?
Yeah, she loves it. She likes making noise. Very loud kid. I love it.
So millennials and Gen Z really are snowflakes.
Yep, and a story. They're all the same.
Young adults
Shut up.
Become distressed by labels of entitlement. Narcissism suggests new academic research.
You're proving the point, Brandon, with your reaction.
It's ridiculous.
They get upset if they're labeled more self-centered or oversensitive than older people.
No, we don't.
All age groups, including millennials and Generation Z themselves, believe that they are the most narcissistic and entitled, suggest the findings.
Oh,
fuck off.
Oh.
But researchers say that millennials and Gen Z dislike the snowflake characterization, believe it less than older generations do.
Oh, wait a second. It's a symbol.
This generation communicates in symbols, oftentimes, or the rest of us use words.
The findings show that teenagers and young adults both believe and react negatively to messages that members of their age group are more entitled and narcissistic than other living... Boy, this thing just won't stop. Academic reports and popular literature have contributed to the widespread idea that emerging adults, people transitioning from adolescence to adulthood, are more entitled and narcissistic than... Is there any word worse than narcissistic?
Narcissistic, yeah.
It is
or
the
entitled.
Worst word. I swear... I don't know... Millennials just get pounded on constantly. Does every group get pounded? No, they don't. What? No one even talks about Mark's generation.
We don't care.
Shut up, Mark.
We like it that way.
Yeah, okay.
No one cares about us. And we
I know.
Don't care.
I would
we're
rather
dropping
be.
Out.
I would rather be forgotten too. I just don't like being labeled like I'm like we're like baby. We're all holding hands. You know, like we're all part of something.
You're all holding
we're all
hands.
Woodstock.
Holding hands, ruining the world.
We all took the bad acid. Yeah, then we got really selfish and fuck everybody else.
which doesn't every generation do that?
Yeah, I think they do. Point? I do. I think they do.
I mean, X won't, but.
Shut the.
X is going to give it to you.
Yeah.
With no trivia.
Yeah, X is going to kick
X
your
gonna
ass,
give you.
Man. You better watch out for
helmets
X.
Helmets and ninth place ribbons. That's
what
you're
talking
X
about.
Did. Yeah, you're the ones that wanted your kids to have
our kids. Wait, no, X's kids are Generation Z, right? It's the boomers
pretty
that
much.
Yeah, and you know what? When I was growing up as a millennial, I only got one trophy, and that was first place. That's it.
Ooh. Oh. For what?
Well, no, I'm just saying in general.
Oh,
I did lose baseball
who started?
A little more narcissistic.
Who started the ninth place ribbons and the bat in the order of the position you play and everybody
Gen
switched
X.
positions and
Gen X. They demanded it for their children. They demanded
right.
helmets for their children
too.
I'm just
talking about
right now. If you go to Mount Holly or if you go to Boyne, there is barely anybody that does not wear a helmet anymore. Why? Because your generation said, "Oh my God, they might fall and break their heads."
Yeah, the boomers.
The boomers.
I don't understand
my parents
that,
were boomers. I never wore a helmet once.
We never wore. I mean, riding a bike in a helmet. I remember just like going, "Why are these kids wearing helmets?" That's
when
the way
did,
I looked
when did that start?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know when it started. I kind of came in midstream.
What would have been you know, like the 80s. Well, no, 70s, right? 70s.
Oh, so it was Gen X's parents. Parents
in the 70s?
No, no, I grew up in the, like, as a child in the 90s, there were no helmets. What? The kids that wore them were losers. I swear to God. It was like, why are you the only one wearing a helmet? Now, if you're at a skate park and you're doing crazy shit, yeah, you wear a helmet. But if you're just snowboarding or if you're riding your bicycle, no helmets. These days, everything's helmets because of Mark.
What? I don't want you to wear a helmet.
Okay, let's get back to millennials and Gen Z being
stuck. Yeah, geez, don't attack X.
Emerging anytime someone walks through a cloud of vape smoke, a millennial is born.
They keep repeating the same thing. Every line of this study, they keep basically re-saying the same thing. Let's see. The crowdsourcing results suggest that older adults' views of the narcissism and entitlement of teenagers and emerging adults are more exaggerated than the actual views of emerging adults themselves. In Tucson, I just think this is... The headline basically has the whole story. I hate it when they do that.
Yeah.
Study leader Dr. Joshua Grubbs, an assistant professor, Department of Psych at Bowling Green.
Hey.
All right.
Said all generations think the youngest generations are the most narcissistic and entitled generations.
Cool.
However, millennials and Generation Z. How many times have I read this saying the same thing over?
Same thing over and over, yeah.
Just like the characterization and believe it less than older generations do. So there. Fuck what you heard.
It's what you hearing. This is our generation's theme. My generation's theme. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. X gon' give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real.
Here's a helmet. Stop my problem, stainless steel. Here's a Netflix ribbon. Busy with it. But I got such
a good heart that I make the most. Well, DMX's music
always so... Here's a participation trophy!
What great lyrics.
Why is his music also over-modulated?
And angry.
Watch out for X!
You know, did Michael Mayer ever tell you about the time he stayed in the hotel room across from DMX?
What?
Oh, I did hear that story.
A really funny story. I liked him. He thought he's a great guy.
Has Michael Mayer ever not liked something?
I was thinking the same thing. Michael is one of the more reasonable people on the planet.
That's great.
Very positive.
On the best of... something else I wanted to mention on the best of... Oh, I just wanted to thank Neil Rubin for coming in. Of course, you know, the article's probably running and I'm going, what is bullshit?
I didn't say that. I mischaracterized.
It was...
What if he did write a scathing?
I know, it'd be pretty funny.
Takedown.
It was...
misogynistic.
It was funny spending a day with the old media, traditional media, because, you know... I'm around people all the time in this who are always saying like, "Oh, appointment TV is over," you know, and it's not over.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be. But.
It is weird. I mean, at first I was like, "Are you kidding?" I watch X show at X time every Monday night. You know, as old habits die hard when you're my age, and then as time went on, I was like, "I'm watching more Netflix now." I'm recording more things and I watch them when I want to watch them. There's nothing except live sports or an award show that I'll watch live.
Even
nothing.
On an award show, you can start late.
I know,
and
I do.
And
I mean,
even,
we've been doing that for years.
Brandon and I do this. We don't watch Game of Thrones right when it tees up. I mean, I think we end up watching it like 10 or 11 at night because that's just when we're able to watch it.
Yeah, but there's a period where you have to stay off social media.
Sure. Yeah, and you got to watch it that night so things don't get ruined for you.
But what I was telling Neil Rubin, and it was really true when Mike Clark died, was that all of a sudden I was besieged with the traditional media.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a really good job, and it was just making me scratch my head. I'm thinking, okay, there's still these really professional people. They know what they're doing, and apparently the people that are in charge of them don't know what to do with them. Mm-hmm. Or they don't know how to make money with these seasoned professionals. I mean, there's something really screwed up about that.
Yeah, you're right. They don't know how to make money off of it anymore.
And Neil's been at the paper since 1984.
Wow.
I know. That's amazing. And he's not done. He's not like, I'm not quitting tomorrow. I mean.
Well, he's built a personality, too, there by being the feature writer and doing what he writes. Just like, God forbid, just like Mitch does.
Yeah. No, they're not going to. Mitch will never leave. You know what I did wonder, though? Have they ever cut Mitch Albom's pay? They've cut everything.
Probably, hey, Mitch! No, he crossed the line first. I don't know.
Seriously, it's like every major rise I've heard at some point has been asked to take a pay cut.
And it's been reported on, too. Yeah,
pretty much.
I would think he When do you think he would have?
He might take one on the condition that they can't report it.
Maybe.
And that they have to say that he's never been asked to take a pay cut.
I can see that. And then he
I don't know.
Then he can phone it in. Maybe that's when he started phoning it in.
I don't know. But when the newspaper went online, and Neil was here, we were talking about it, and I was thinking, wait, it's free online. Mm-hmm. So how do they ever make money off it if it's free? Because if it's free, nobody ever pays for it.
Right.
And all the newspapers, didn't they all kind of go online at once?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we got to be online. Everything's online.
It was a race.
Yeah.
And then once you're online and it's free, who's ever going to pay for it? I mean,
they still make more money on the printed paper than they do online.
It's amazing.
That seems
if they didn't, ridiculous. Why would they print the paper?
I know.
No one gets it by delivery but anymore. They
stopped delivering it. That made it harder.
Yeah.
Although I do notice the newsstands, they're generally gone at the end of the day. There must be a lot.
They put three or four in at the beginning.
People are living a long time now.
I would probably get it delivered if it was every day. I think I would.
Me too.
I used to love looking at box scores all on one page, and that's just, I can't remember the last time.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?
Wait, USA Today does have the box scores, but I think they're late. They're like the day before or something.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of old. But
pointless.
Hey, Neil Rubin's article won't be old. So anyway. On with the best of and the mini Mozart from 60 Minutes,
lovely.
Alma. I it's hard for me to remember disliking anyone so much. It really is.
She claims to be a semi-professional pianist, but sounds more like Liberace taking a dump on a chalkboard.
I was screaming at the TV, and it wasn't for effect. I was really angry.
She was very pretentious.
Remember when she was...
Oh, she's prancing around the yard.
Yes. Oh, when they weren't filming?
Melodies.
Yeah, she just has melodies in her head.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Scott Pelley asked, what's it like in your head? I've never seen an adult kiss a child's ass so much, too.
It's definitely his lowest moment.
And her answer is like, I wonder what it's like that you don't have melodies in your head.
Oh, what a cunty answer.
It was the worst.
That is like the worst answer, bitch. Sorry, how old is she, 12?
Yeah, 11 or 12.
Still a cunty answer.
It was terrible.
X gonna give it to you.
The safest UPS driver.
He was great.
That was, like
local.
55 years on the job, and he's never had an accident. I don't think he ever even missed a day, did he?
Oh, he got it painted on the side of his truck, too.
Whoa. And then dead one-hit wonders into Wesley Willis. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, all I can do is remind you that the best of is brought to you by Scott Cuneth, Realtor Scott Cuneth, the Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual. To see what your home is worth or help in finding your new one, call Scott or refer someone to Scott, 248-797-7746. Or email Scott Cuneth at scuneth@cbwm.com. Watch out for those X's, Brandon! They're going to take it away, all of it!
Gen X pissed me off to Brandon.
Enjoy the rest of Cool Mike. The third story in 60 Minutes, believe it or not, usually the story that we never care about was the most fascinating story because it was about a little prodigy named Alma, who's 12, and when she was 3, melodies started flooding her head,
she
started playing the piano and the violin, and oh, does she think she is hot. She thinks she is something really special, and she is the biggest snob. What a snob brat.
She's the worst.
And she's boring. Her music is boring. I don't care how many melodies she has. Her music sucks, and nobody wants to see an opera. That's a big make-believe thing. People just say they like operas because they think it's cool. Cultured. I run around saying I like operas even though I hate them because everyone hates them. Seriously, who really wants to go to an opera? I don't even believe those people.
What is the most annoying thing about her from the story yesterday, in your opinion?
The Mozart thing. By a mile.
With third person. We'll get to it.
Yeah. Go to about 44 after, I determined. 44 after is about where it starts getting
really. I thought right off the bat some of her statements were pretty big whoppers.
Well, yeah, but.
Oh, believe me.
I guess. I mean.
We don't know how she understands it all. It seems that Alma was born that
name,
way.
Too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your earliest musical memory?
Dr. Filling.
I remember that when I was 3 and I listened to this really beautiful lullaby by Richard Strauss.
Your accent's
and
annoying.
That was when I really first realized how much I loved music. And I asked my parents, but how can music be so beautiful?
Do you remember the melody?
Yes. You want me to sing it?
No, 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 no.
How old is this kid?
Sucks.
Those notes,
terrible.
Of Strauss ignited a universe. At 3, Alma was playing piano.
Ignited a universe? What are you talking about? Never heard of this brat.
When did the composing begin?
When I was 4, I just had these melodies and ideas in my head, and I would play them down at the piano. And sometimes my parents would think that I was just remembering the music that I'd already heard before. But I said, no, these are my melodies that I composed.
Because you're always right, we know.
Oh, man, my melodies
and
4.
No one else matters but you.
Go away. Oh, here's where she bosses the adult.
In Austria, we watched Alma prepare her violin
she's
concerto
been told that she's something
and
else.
The premiere of her piano concerto. Joji Hattori conducts the Vienna Chamber Orchestra.
And maybe, just the clarinet.
Just the clarinet. Yeah. What I really want to hear is a violin and the clarinet. Da, da.
Fuck off! You'll hear what we play.
Boring.
We're adults.
I'd rather hear Blue Oyster Cult.
The was the composer herself. And as you listen, remember, she wrote
head movements.
Oh, get over
watch
yourself.
Watch her face, Trudy. Well, I think it's later when they show her face or while she's playing, Drew.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I was throwing up through the whole thing.
You know...
No! Oh, the dramatic movements!
Everyone's still awake?
My stepmother could play like this.
My grandma
can. No, this isn't good. It's okay, it's average.
There's no market for it. Must
A
not be that good.
Loss.
No, I don't see her on the top of the charts. I think she's even on the charts.
Of redemption.
You don't know what it's a story of. It's music.
How's he getting all that?
There's
out
no
of
words. Fake, 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 fake. I see a kid playing piano. There's no story of loss or redemption. What's he talking about?
Scales of emotion beyond a child.
Whatever, it's boring. I would not.
Yeah!
You couldn't pay me to go
and
see
yet
this.
Her vision was almost like wisdom.
Look at those faces.
Oh boy.
Do you have any idea where this comes from?
I don't really know, but it's really very normal to me to go around.
Yeah, we know.
Walk around.
Sound like you're from London.
To my head, it's the most normal thing in the world. For me, it's strange to walk around and not to have melodies popping into my head. So if I was interviewing you, I would say, well, tell me, Scott, how does it feel like not having melodies popping into your head?
Oh, aren't you special?
It feels normal, you idiot.
You patronizing bitch.
Here's what I thought was
oh, yeah.
probably the most annoying part to
they're
me.
They're preparing lunch and she's just killing time.
Yeah.
In the backyard, just has nothing to do.
Watch not this. Having melodies popping into your head.
It's very quiet in my head, I must say.
But it appears never
noises.
Quiet in hers. Look what happened when we took a break from filming at the Deutscher home. Mind the background noise, that's just the rustle of lunch. This is Idle Alma.
Yeah, it's annoying
when
as hell.
She has nothing to do.
Who wants to listen to this?
Honestly, what if it was David Lee Roth walking around making those same noises? No one would give a shit, and he does it just as good, right?
Right.
But who wants to be around someone who is singing constantly? It's not very social, for one. I mean, is it enough about you, by the way, kid?
I was just hoping that she had siblings, which we do get to meet a sibling.
Oh,
but I was
who
hoping
also plays piano.
I know. I was hoping it would be like a 16-year-old burnout brother who just fucking hates his little sister.
And rags on her nonstop.
But we do get to meet her parents.
What if some of these melodies in her head are somebody else's melodies, and at some point somebody comes along and is like, hey, wait a minute.
Well, we can pray for that.
Because nobody knows, because nobody listens to this kind of music.
As fluently as breath.
What?
Oh, quiet.
Oh, shut the fuck up. We're getting lunch ready.
Do you feel that there's anything about Alma's gift that you don't understand?
I don't want your gift 24/7, kid.
Our professors.
There are other people in the world.
Old English literature, and Guy is a noted linguist. Both of them are amateur musicians.
We don't understand creativity. Quiet. Does anyone? I mean, that I think that's the crux of the mystery. Where does it come from, this melody?
People have foisted on everyone else all day long, by the way.
Imagination. It's
that's
it's
one thing I know about creativity. Don't run going, oh!
You missed the part where the linguist mispronounced volcano.
What?
Would you say volcano?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I hardly had to...
You thought it was you.
I thought it was me. I hardly had to say something. And, she, you know... piano teacher once said it's
quiet
the teacher because one always has the sense she's been there before.
She wouldn't be able to imagine life without dreams and stories and music.
Your kid.
That's as unimaginable to her as it is strange for other people to think about a little girl with melodies my help. In her head.
I love getting the melodies. It's not at all difficult for me. I get them all the time.
Quiet.
But then actually sitting down and developing the melodies.
You're boring
that's
me.
That's really the difficult part.
Boring.
The real story boring. With the music.
Can you believe there's like human beings like this? Like I'm always amazed that, you know, LeBron's the same species as me. I can't believe that's the same species.
Do people pay to see this terrible music?
No, there's no one there.
It's Cinderella, but it's not the Cinderella you know. It seemed demeaning to Alma that Cinderella was attractive just because her feet were small.
Oh,
so
shut up, you
Cinderella
snob.
As a composer and the prince as a poet.
Cinderella finds a poem that was composed by the prince, and she loves it, and she's inspired.
Yeah, you're perverting the story, bitch.
And in the ball, she sings it to the prince.
We like the glass
Sounds
slipper.
Sounds like he
that was
fingered
fine.
Her.
Yeah, that was a big change in her version.
Sounds like he fingered her.
He composed this amazing melody to his poem because he thinks it's
What was wrong with the glass slipper?
Nothing.
Well, people can fall in love with composers.
Exactly.
No one's going to marry you.
Oh, God. She's insufferable.
Who the fuck cares?
First production in Vienna.
Oh, boy.
There is another composer who had an opera premiere in Vienna at the age of 11. Mozart. People compare you to Mozart. What do you think of that?
I know that they mean it to be very nice to compare me to Mozart.
No, it could be worse.
Of course, I love Mozart, and I would have loved him to be my teacher. But I think I would prefer to be the first Alma than to be a second Mozart.
Oh, get over yourself. Oh, my God, are you insufferable? What an insufferable snob.
God, wait till she's 21.
Oh, God. Who would want to spend 5 minutes
she
around?
She wants it so bad.
Who would want to spend 5 minutes around this brat? Seriously.
Her parents, and that's about it.
Yeah, they look weary, though.
And this
don't
sucks.
They?
This is boring. It sucks. You could not, you'd have to pay me a lot of money to sit through this.
Because it's a very early concerto of Mozart, and the cadenza was very simple. It didn't go to any different keys. And I composed quite a long one, going to lots and lots of different keys, doing lots of things on Mozart's motifs.
Yeah, whatever. Wow. Dreamweaver, baby.
So you improved the cadenza.
I'm looking at the charts.
Mozart.
I don't see this anywhere on there.
She improved Mozart.
It's kind of a comet that goes by.
Who are you, you pedophile?
Everybody looks up and just goes, wow.
Robert Yertigan is a professor of music at Northwestern in Chicago. He has been a consultant to Alma's education.
Oh, a consultant.
I sent her some assignments when she was 6, 7. Where I expected her to crash and burn because they were very difficult. It came back. It was like listening to
your assignments are stupid. Shut up.
Century composer. She was a native speaker.
A native. Remember when she made you jizz your pants?
She speaks the Mozart style. She speaks the style of Mendelssohn.
And the names that you just
nobody likes Mozart either. You ass.
And Mendelssohn.
I don't know who that is. So he sounds stupid.
In the big leagues. And if you win the pennant, there's immortality.
Congratulations on a segment that appeals to 3 people.
Wins the pennant.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
Jose Orchestra will stage Cinderella in Alma's American
debut. Oh, here comes another whopper,
She'll be the belle of the ball on the piano, organ, and violin.
the piano music teachers say, oh, you must choose the piano. And the violin music teachers say, oh, you must choose the violin. Oh. But anyway, that's better than the piano teacher saying, you must choose the violin. And the violin teacher says,
what are you laughing at?
Oh, get over yourself. Oh, my God, you were so stuck on yourself.
Fortunately, she doesn't have to choose.
Do some Charlie Daniels.
This is her composition, Violin Concerto Number 1.
Boring! Boring, boring, boring. I'd rather see Blue Oyster Cult again.
Devil went
I saw him before.
The Blue Oyster Cult.
It's extremely very happy and jocular.
Jocular?
I want to make the people who listen to it laugh and be happy.
I would pay money to be away from her, seriously. If I was stuck in the same room, I'd pay money to not be in the same room with her. I would. I'm not kidding. Ugh.
I can't take any more.
Yeah, I can't either.
To get married to the Generation Z kid. Happily ever after.
It'd be perfect.
Annoying world.
Okay. Like, what's going to happen to this genius when she discovers sex?
She's going to have great sex.
She'll call it coitus.
It'll be all about her.
She will.
Yeah.
It's all about Alma. Okay, whatever.
Alma told us that she made up a country where imaginary composers write, each in his own style of emotion.
So how many composers do you have in your head?
I have lots of composers.
Yeah, prove it.
And sometimes when I'm stuck with something, when I'm composing, I go to them and ask them for advice.
No, you don't.
And quite often they come up with very interesting things.
That's your imagination.
Even the real world seems magical. The Deutschers moved to the English countryside to be near a famous school of music.
Ooh.
Alma is privately tutored and homeschooled.
Oh, of course.
Alongside her sister, Helen, who also knows
her way
around the piano.
No one's good enough but her own parents.
And the treehouse.
I usually don't ask people your age this question, but what have you learned about life?
Ugh, I don't even want to know what she's learned about life.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Oh, what an insufferable little bitch. What about the guy with the 55-year
the McChicken.
Record? I got a very, let's see.
Oh, the UPS driver?
Yeah, I got a very exhaustive bio on him from someone who knows him, who works
with
really?
Him. Oh, really?
Yeah, just about that he's single, that he almost got married once, and just, oh, I mean, it was really...
Well, that's a better speech than Al Kaline gave.
It was possibly too detailed. I can't reveal many things that were in the bio.
Well,
that he is an incredibly hard worker, and he never takes a day off, and he never gets in an accident. He's really intense about his job, even though he's 77. He loves work.
Well, we have listeners. Amy, who's on his route, told him that we were looking to find him.
Cool.
So he doesn't
Amy.
He doesn't know that we're calling, but he knows that a Drew and Mike show was looking for him. You want to call him?
Yeah.
Right, give me a second. I got to find
probably working.
I gotta find music for him first.
Yeah. Perfect selection. Great Easy. Sound quality, too.
Safest driver ever for UPS. We can dance
if we want to. Don't like the sound quality?
Quality's not the best. I still like this song.
Tom Camp?
It could be
How about there,
right now.
There She Goes with Another Guy?
Yep.
It's a great song. Although she's a whore. The girl in the song is a whore.
How about Rose Marie?
Oh.
Whoa, hey, is this Tom? Tom Camp?
Who's this?
Tom, this is the Drew and Mike show.
Yeah.
You're not driving right now.
You had a bad time.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we have a rough connection here?
No, we got a good connection, but I got to be someplace in about 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I understand. I mean, you're busy. It sounds like you still are a working madman.
We are, yeah.
How many hours are you working a week?
Close to 11 hours a day.
Whoa!
11 hours a day. Now, what is it about not slowing down? I mean, you think, is it just that you love your work?
Yeah, I don't have no hobbies enough, and so I might as well get up and go to work.
Wow.
You know, I live by myself, and...
Can you tell me something, Tom? We were talking about safe driving, and I distinctly remember the IPDE process, identify, predict, decide, and execute, that I learned in driver's ed. Is that something you're familiar with, the IPDE process?
Not really. I'm not familiar with that. They got so many different things, but I'm not quite familiar with that.
There was also a vigorous debate about driving at 10 and 2 or 9 and 3 now. I typically just drive at 11.
Yeah, one-handed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm 2 and 10.
2 and 10. 2, two and 10. 10. Okay.
Oh, 2 and 10. Well, yeah. That's confusing here. He said that way. But
now, but Tom, most drivers
seems to have his own system.
Most drivers have shorts, though. You still wear it, rocking the shorts?
No, no, not now. It's, once I put the long pants on, they stay on. You might get a warm day, but I don't go one day long, one day short. Once it gets cold enough,
that's it.
It's in the low 50s. That's it.
Now, did you ever run into Al Kaline while you were playing baseball? Because we heard you tried out for the Pirates, and I heard that he was really blown away by. He was a fan of yours.
Well, I was a fan of his. You know, I think he came up around 53, 54, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just, you know, right out of high school. I mean, that's no minor leagues or nothing. That's amazing.
It's an amazing honor. We were talking about it on the show, and somebody was saying that they were a little bummed out, though, because they thought Al was maybe stealing your limelight at the party that UPS threw for you.
No. I thought he really impressed me. A very, very nice guy.
Was it,
very, very nice guy.
Yeah, he said.
I know. He got a reputation when he first came up of being a little bit. You know, he was real shy.
Oh.
And he really didn't care to talk to the press too much. And but as the years went on, he matured more and everything. Because he was just a young kid when he was only 18 years old when he came up.
Yeah.
He won the bet.
No. He did a fine job. I have no complaints about him at all.
It's amazing. It sounded like he was just heard the story. He was a fan, so he just showed up at this thing, and then they couldn't keep him quiet. He was so amazed by your achievement, which is really nice. A guy like that, I mean, to get involved, that's
amazing.
Yeah,
like I said, he was just a real nice man. And the other person there was a reporter for Channel 2. I'm horrible on names.
Male or female?
The male. He's a lawyer.
Oh, Charlie Langdon.
Yeah,
he's nuts. He's crazy.
He
we love him.
He is a super nice guy.
Yeah,
he is. I like Charlie.
He came back and interviewed me twice when they bought out that old car and I was sitting in it, and he came running back over. He said, "Hey, can I get another interview?" But I mean, his wasn't like, "Yeah, I gotta be here," you know. So, but his was. He was really, really into it. I mean, he really, really impressed me a lot.
It was a big scoop for Fox, too. And, you know, is this one of these things where you were sort of taken aback by all the attention, or is this something you felt was long overdue that you kind of wondered, where is the media on this story?
Oh, no. 5 years ago, it was the Today Show that came out and rolled with me for about 3 hours.
Oh, who'd they send?
Yeah, what reporter?
Yeah, that was my 50th year of safe driving. And
they didn't send that groper, Al Roker, did they?
No, who was the weatherman? Yeah, well, the weatherman. See, I didn't go to New York.
Yeah.
But they came out and filmed, and then they showed it a week later. In fact, it was a year, 5 years ago, just coming Thanksgiving week when they were with me.
Wow.
And, who was Roker?
Is that Tom Brokaw that came out?
No, not Brokaw. The guy that
Chet
came
Huntley?
Out was, I'm horrible on names.
Edward R. Murrow?
Frank Reynolds?
Googly Ammo Marconi?
On the street, he's, I'll give you his name. I'll tell you exactly. I even wrote his name down. I said, I can never remember. And I got his, let me see. I see him on the national news all the time.
Peter
Jennings. He's out in the field.
Peter Jennings?
His name is Kevin Tibbles.
Oh, Tibbs.
Oh, Tibbs is there. Cool.
He's a good reporter.
Wow.
He
was a super nice guy. So they're all nice. He actually had the brown uniform on.
Oh, he's trying to steal your thunder like Kaline.
That sounds like stolen valor.
Yeah, you got to earn that uniform.
Was he wearing
He says, I'm going to walk up to your truck, and he said, I'm going to introduce myself as being your helper today. He says, try and think of something funny to say. I said, okay.
Did you boss him around?
He says, hey, my name is Kevin Tibbles. He says, I'm going to be helping you today. I said, well, they told me I was going to get somebody young, you know?
That's a good one.
Nice comeback. Wow.
Now, what did UPS give you for being the safest driver ever? I know they decorated the truck or whatever, but did you get anything of, like, tangible cash value that you can keep forever? Like,
no, not really. They donated $25,000 to Michigan State, something they do with the trucking industry.
Who gets that write-off?
Yeah,
probably is.
Yeah, probably is.
That was basically it. But It was, you know, just the recognition they gave me. I really didn't expect anything.
It is very cool.
I don't know, they're nice to let you keep the truck or something, or, you know, some wheels to be safe in when you're not at work.
Sometimes.
Yeah, tons
a little
great
truck
subject.
They bought out there. That was 1964, and it was a piece of junk, and they tore it right down to the nuts and bolts, and they rebuilt the whole thing. I mean, they even had a video of what they were doing on it, and did a real nice job,
purposes.
And they're going to keep it here through the winter. And then in the spring, they're going to take it to New York and put it in a museum.
Wow.
Yeah, for their own promotional purposes.
Well, you know.
They probably like to have me go with it to the museum, you know.
You know, Tom, at 77, some people get a little bit, I don't know if they just lose their focus behind the wheel, but have you had any close calls? 55 years without an accident, there's got to be a story where somebody almost cut you off or, you know, maybe...
Oh, no, I've had my close calls, and if I was, it would have been an accident, I would have been at fault. I mean, I know it. And I'll tell you, when most of them will happen is when you're when you don't stay focused and we're always busy, and you're going up and down these side streets all the time, you might have 25 stops to go, and you only got an hour and a half or hour and 15 minutes to get it done, and man, you're going maybe a little fast,
All those stops, Tom. With all the stops, did you ever forget to put the car in park and have to chase it down?
No, that's a runaway. That's a fire there.
A runaway.
There's
a term for it. I didn't
runaway,
know that.
Runaway.
That's a runaway. We've had it happen over our place. And that's something you don't want to happen, though.
Now, let me ask you this. When delivering a package to a house, you know, sometimes because everything comes from Amazon or wherever, they're really light.
Yeah.
I mean, how far do you have to get to the door before you can just chuck it? Can you do, like, from, like, 10 yards away?
No. 15
yards?
That's something I never do that.
Like a frisbee?
Never, never, never.
You're not a chucker?
And I always ring the doorbell. That's one of the things that since I joined the company 55 years ago.
How many times have you been invited into a house? Come on now, Tom.
I
know you guys.
We're not supposed to go into a house.
You can tell us. You're 77.
Okay, how many times is the door open and someone's standing there in the nude?
Yes, how many nudies?
At 77, they figure you're harmless anyway.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
I bet there's been a few
tons
ladies who probably.
Tons of nudes.
He's definitely walked in on some.
There must have
nudes.
Been a lady that flirted at least with you a couple
God,
times.
Yes. The robe falls
off.
Yeah.
You hear, you know, that lady would say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm taking so long to come to the door.
Oh.
I was taking a bath. If you want to come in and wash my back again, you know.
Oh.
I can't tell.
Whoa.
They know you're single. They know they want you, man.
Yeah, but this was a lot. This was a lot of years ago in Dearborn Heights.
Hey, what's
Tom,
the term for that?
Yeah, is that a runaway? What is that?
A disappearing act.
That's a disappearing act. I like that.
That's what it's called.
I can tell you some stories.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't go into.
You don't kiss and tell.
I bet you told Al Kaline some stories.
War stories. Tell us some war stories.
We're
going
to interview Al Kaline.
Yeah, get all this.
Get him to spill.
Well, Tom's
wow, Tom. I know you had to be somewhere, and I really appreciate you taking a few minutes for us. And it's really a fabulous award, safest driver ever.
Congrats
in Livonia.
Yeah, that one girl from I'm trying to think of her name.
Amy.
Amy, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, very
she
nice
told me
to
last
her.
Week,
has Amy friended with you?
And, she's a real nice girl.
She is.
That's pretty cool.
Did you go and did Amy invite you inside?
Yeah, she's one of them, right?
No. I wish she would.
I bet you spend a little extra time there, though, when you make your deliveries.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I bet you spend a little extra time there when you make your deliveries.
You shut your truck off for that one.
No, she's very nice to look at.
Yeah,
she sure is.
Very sweet girl.
Very attractive.
Nice. Well, that's great. That's one of the benefits of the job, no doubt. You get to meet some nice
looking
ladies.
Oh, yeah, especially in the summer when they got their shorts and all that on. Yeah, that looks good.
How about the negligees?
Negligee?
Yeah.
I liked the one lady years ago. She was sunbathing in the backyard.
Yes.
And we have all signatures then. So I'm walking up into the backyard, and she's laying, you know, on her stomach, and she's, sunning herself. So I come walking up there, and I said way before I got there, I said, hey, UPS, and she turns around, and she stands up, and she had her bathing suit, the top, she had it undone in the back, and she stands up and she forgot, you know, the whole thing comes down, you know, in the front.
Wow.
And then she, of course, I looked at her. I said, I'm trying to act like I didn't see it, you know, but I said, holy mackerel.
Good for you, Tom. No wonder you're still working.
It's the best.
Can't wait till Tom is.
I'm waiting to see that again, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
Nice. I can't wait till we get Al Kaline on to really spill the stuff.
Al's really going to rat you out. Nice. I know it.
I like to hear his stories.
Oh yeah, I bet he's got. He might have a few more. Well, Tom, if he and Kaline ever get together, geez. Anyway, Tom, thanks so much. Congratulations again. Appreciate the time.
Well, thanks for calling me.
Great talking to you. Keep it
going. Keep it going.
Good job.
Okay.
No runaways.
Have a good one now.
Thank you, Tom.
Disappear. Disappearing acts.
Yeah.
We'll see you.
You know Tom scored in his day.
Oh, he's got some stories.
Awesome.
He's been single the whole time.
I think he's still scoring.
Anyway, okay, here's my clickbait. Dead one-hit wonders that you don't know.
Oh.
Hmm. That was kind of interesting. I couldn't resist. Sorry.
Is Ian Curtis on there?
Ian Curtis, we know, and they are more than a one-hit wonder.
Sorry you died.
There was a two-hit wonder on there, though, that I
identified. Was it really?
Oh. Yeah, on this list. But Ian Curtis is too big, I think, for the one-hit wonder
list. Okay, I gotcha. Just because he died so early, I didn't know if he counted.
Yeah, they counted people going back to the early 80s. He was 79, I think, 1979. But he's got that, what's that one song of theirs?
It's Love Will Tear Us Apart.
You know, I think that song's a good song, but really it comes up on the top of the list for like the greatest UK.
No, it's a good song. But
singles, no, I don't think it's that good. Anyway, Stuart Adamson, anybody know who he is?
Nope.
In a big country.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lead singer. He was missing for a month when he was found dead in a hotel room in Hawaii with a 0.279 blood alcohol level.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. That was a few years ago. So that was a good one. I kind of knew that, but I kind of sort of forgotten, I guess. I love this song.
You know
Why
what?
Couldn't they make another good song?
You know what I really hate about this song?
What? That the band's named after the song?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
There's a couple bands like that. Like, bothers me about Bad Company.
I know, they start out with that was a bummer. I agree.
Boston.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Boston?
They have a song. Don't they have a song? I don't know. I give up. I quit.
I don't think Boston has a song called Boston. Maybe they do. The first album I know backwards and forwards.
Oh, you're thinking of the album name being Boston?
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it was. The album's name.
Why do they have a laptop in this commercial or this song, this video? Did you see that, Jim? Look at this laptop.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it looks like they have a laptop. I gotta find it. And this guy's showing him a laptop.
Patrick Swayze?
Look, check out my new laptop. Even though it's 1980, they haven't been invented
yet. Back. I don't remember this song.
You really?
Remember this?
This early 81? It was a big hit. 81?
Yeah. It's like 80, 81.
Yeah.
They opened for the Stones when we took a group over there to see the Stones in Berlin. And I was like, big country. This is like mid-90s. And I was really surprised they were opening, but who knows. Anyway, Minnie Riperton of Loving You fame. Who cares? Maz would care, but you don't care. You don't.
It's Maya Rudolph's mom.
Oh, that's right.
I think I say that every time it comes up.
Kevin McMichael is dead.
Never heard of him.
Cutting Crew. Died in Your Arms.
Oh, just died in your arms.
Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song. What's he died of cancer at 51. Mm-hmm. Remember Dan Hartman?
Mm-hmm. Phil's cousin? No, I have no idea. Dan Hartman.
I can dream about you.
Oh, that's the worst.
I know, it's a dumb song. He's written a couple other hits, too. He died of
AIDS.
Get the drop ready. Died of AIDS.
Oh, boy. Was he gay?
They didn't say. I assumed he was.
Can't help but laugh.
Maybe he liked needles. I don't know. Maybe like dirty.
He had those AIDS.
Oh, balls. Sorry.
AIDS.
There's going to be a lot of errors today.
They did not say anything about him.
And
being,
when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him.
A lot of good your prayers did, Don.
Anybody remember Pete Burns?
Nope.
Dead or Alive, You Spin Me Round?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, he's on, and he looks like a woman when he died. It was really weird. He spent a lot of money. He was completely broke, and he'd sold a lot of records, actually. Massive heart attack.
Wasn't the character on Melrose Place, Dr. Peter Burns?
Yeah, he was.
Is he
That's
named
right.
after that guy?
I don't know. There's another Pete Burns somewhere, I think. DJ Easy Rock, It Takes Two.
It Takes Two to Make Yeah.
Died of diabetes at 46. Did you guys know all these people were dead? Any of them?
No.
And
no,
when
no.
he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him.
It's diabetes.
Okay, hold the AIDS drops for just a second here. Jimmy
He's got AIDS.
Jimmy McShane of Baltimore, Tarzan Boy.
Never heard
of that. Oh, that's that one.
I was playing it upstairs, okay, and you guys are going, why is he playing that?
And we couldn't get it out of our heads either.
Never knew that was the name of that song.
He died of AIDS at 37.
I tried to Google it, and all I could put was, oh, 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 and
I tried, whoa, oh, oh, oh. It didn't work. What's the name of this song?
Tarzan Boy.
Tarzan Boy.
Yeah. This is really catchy, though. There's no way around it.
He's got AIDS. He had AIDS. Turned your light,
I'm far away from nowhere. On my own. Who buys these songs? Do chicks buy these songs?
Did they buy them?
Pretty well. All right, one more hook. Yep, Jimmy McShane, 37, AIDS. Doug Figer, the Knack, Jeff's brother, My Sharona, and Good Girls Don't. They really had more than one. They were a great band. He died of cancer at 57. Just about, I think I want to say 10 years ago. Kevin Dubrow.
Oh, wait.
Ooh, I know this, too.
Wait. Yeah. This is going to drive me nuts.
I was thinking
metal. Go ahead.
Come on, feel the noise.
C-U-M.
Yep.
Cover song.
Yeah, it was a cover song. I didn't realize that either. That was Noddy Hodler and the British band.
Yeah.
Slade.
That's right.
Slade had a huge hit with it. I was just reading about Slade and great story in Mojo. They were Quiet cool. Riot nice guys.
Didn't Quiet Riot have more than
they did?
Just
they had another fairly big song. I just don't know if it was a hit.
I told you when I was a kid. My brother had that album, that album cover freaked me out as a little kid.
Oh, the Quiet Riot?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the Mental Health one.
The documentary, by the way, is hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious.
Look at that. Ooh. Look at that cover. Isn't that a freaky cover?
Of course, how old were you?
Seven.
That's scary. My brother was scared of the Nutty Professor, Jerry Lewis, when he turned into Buddy Love. He was very frightened by that.
Well, the guy's stuck in a straitjacket. In a mental health.
When a Jason mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I agree.
Bryn had nightmares after watching Thriller the other day. She loved it. She wanted to watch it over and over and over, and then she had a nightmare that night.
Wow.
Of zombies. She kept saying it wasn't real, but it's in my mind.
The Thriller.
That's what I kept saying.
All you had to do was play that audio, and she'd probably start laughing.
Hi, this is Michael Jackson.
This is Vincent Price. Michael Jackson is.
The Thriller.
Can we both say it?
Oh, I forgot about
Did
that
we both
part.
Say it? Oh, stupid. Anybody remember Chrissy Amphlett?
Chrissy Amphlett. No.
So hot. So hot. I touched
Who's that dude?
I touched myself. Okay.
The Divinyl.
Yeah, she died of breast cancer. And she had MS, too. Only 53. She fought like hell. I mean, it's a really rough one.
Bummer.
Most of the bands, just not the individuals.
Yeah.
I love that song. What a great song. What's that? Oh, Austin Powers.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm positive.
Oh, when he does the dance. When he's with his shirt
on the
off.
Bed?
Yeah. Is that when?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's in the time tunnel or something. I can't
he's
remember.
He's got age.
But it's definitely in Austin Powers. But it was. I knew the song way before that. You won't know this guy. Wait. Pauly Famona? OMC?
OMC is...
How Bizarre?
Wait, how Bizarre? Bizarre?
God, I hate that song.
I know, it's awful. Yeah. He died of pneumonia at 40. Who cares? is Zora Armstrong? The Weather Girls, It's Raining Men.
Yeah, written by Paul Schaefer.
Yeah, that's right. He did write that, didn't he?
Oh, I hate this song. Crank it.
Crank it. This was like 97 to 99, somewhere around there.
How did he die? He was young, wasn't he?
Died of pneumonia at 40.
Wow.
He had a disease. He had an autoimmune disease. Oh, Zora Armstrong was huge. She died of heart failure at 52. And then last but not least is Falco.
Yeah,
Amadeus.
Yeah.
He was in an SUV that hit a bus. 40 years old. But what was his second hit? He had two
hits.
Oh,
that's what I'm trying to think. I was looking it up right now.
Not putting on the Ritz.
Ooh.
No. No, not Taco. That's Taco.
Yep.
Who we interviewed.
How dare could I confuse those
Dirk
two?
Commissar?
Yeah.
Dirk Commissar. Yeah, worst. Yeah. Don't turn around. Oh, ho.
Is that a green screen? The video, Luda.
No, that's real.
You got a green screen?
Nice
is that
run,
the video
too.
For this? It is, isn't it? Oh, how stupid.
What a dumb run.
Yeah, that's the dumbest running person I've ever seen. I hate the song much more watching the video.
It's so bad.
I didn't totally hate it. Oh, stop dancing. Is there anything worse than a guy dancing alone? Is he drunk?
Oh my God, stop it. They forgot one, though.
Oh.
Fabulous artist who unfortunately... Actually, no, you know what? He's not a one-hit wonder. He's dead, though.
Oh, Wesley Willis.
Yeah.
Rest McDonald's is a place to rock. It is a restaurant where they buy food to eat. It is a good place to listen
to
the music.
Are you
going to
ask why
people flock here to get down
we were listening to
music.
Wesley Willis before the show?
Why?
Rock and roll McDonald's!
Yeah, let the hook
rock
go.
And roll
Crush Med Devevics.
Rock and roll McDonald's. Rock and roll McDonald's.
That looks delicious.
McDonald's will make you fat. They serve Big Macs. They serve quarter pounders.
No, it popped up because I wanted to hear this song to refresh my memory about a historic event that happened in this city. And because I remember it's him, it's Wesley Willis just reading the newspaper. Over the
two former police officers were sentenced to lengthy prison terms for the murder of an unemployed steelworker outside a crack house here last year. Larry Nevers, 52, received 25 years in jail for his role in the fatal beating of 35-year-old Malice Green. His partner, Walter Busson, 47, was given a prison term of 18 years. They were both whisked away to jail. Larry Nevers, Walter Busson, Larry Nevers, Walter Busson.
I told Jim if I was the producer of this, I would have had to do that one more time, three times.
Definitely.
Court judge George W. Crockett III told Larry Nevers in handing down the sentences.
He's leaving you wanting more.
Which has parallels to the 1991 police beating of black motorist Rodney King in Los Angeles. Split Detroit along Rachel Lyons.
I
think
the song ends before the article ends.
The black community wanted the maximum sentence of life imprisonment for the two white officers, whom they described as out of control. The two officers were convicted of second-degree murder August 23rd by separate juries after an 11-week trial. Larry Nevers, Walter Busson! Larry Nevers, Walter Busson!
Is there going to be a hook at the end of this?
Yeah, one more. No, he's
Rock on Chicago?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I swear, he's going to have one more verse.
I don't see it coming.
I'm not sure what.
Blockbuster video?
One more verse, then Rock.
I think he's got
Chicago.
Another verse coming.
Hey, always had this. I remember editing these at times, like a
really
minute and a half out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. This is the jam. It's the middle eight.
Larry Nevers and Walter Busson were on a stakeout for an armed robbery suspect last November outside a Westside crack house. They stopped to question Malice Green. Malice Green was asked for his driver's license. Suddenly, he was beaten upside his head with two flashlights. An autopsy determined that Malice Green died from 14 blows to his head. Larry Nabbers want the buzzin'. Larry Nabbers want the buzzin'.
Who gives a fuck?
Rock over London, rock on Chicago. Mitsubishi, the word is getting around.
Whoa. I didn't see that one coming. Cares?
Did the sponsor pay for the song?
No.
Pay the production fees or something?
No. He needed whatever popped into Wesley's head.
Okay, is this a chicken cow? Finally. I haven't heard this in years.
This beast comes out when it is 25 degrees below zero. It can rip your head off. It can fly as high as a bird. It can bite your face. The chicken cow! The chicken cow! The chicken cow! The chicken cow!
We've got chicken.
Cow.
Chicken fucker!
This beast killed as many as 100,000 people. Its wings can flap like a bird. It can break a glass. It can also stab you in the ass.
The chicken cow! The chicken cow! The chicken cow! The chicken cow!
I'm not sure
cow.
What that means.
Oh no, is this the interlude again?
Yep. It's middle eight.
Should I jump forward?
No.
Okay.
It's important.
Doesn't he end up getting really echoey with this one at the end? Getting a little crazy?
That's the Drew and Mike song, I think.
Yeah.
Which is his worst song possibly ever. I'm serious. It's horrible.
He's got another good one on this album, too, I forgot about.
I see him as our cover photo already. It's funny, I picture this band just jamming, but it's just a stupid
Casio
soundtrack.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
But he's changing the tempo and during this part.
This beast attacked my brother.
What?
It stabbed him in the ass while he was in the cold. His hands were frostbitten. His hands were also numb.
What?
Does it follow the...
The chicken cow! The chicken cow! The chicken cow! The chicken cow!
Rock over London, rock over Chicago, blockbuster video! Wow, what a difference!
Yeah!
Remember meeting Wesley?
Oh, yeah.
All the warnings about that he liked to headbutt people, yep. And everyone was afraid of him. And he didn't hurt anyone, did he?
No.
But there was always that risk.
Sorry. I guess that was the next
Wait,
song.
Did he play live? Was that live cut?
Yeah, I don't know that song, though.
His art was kind of cool.
Yeah. The guy's a schizophrenic.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, there's something about him.
I think his art was better than his music.
What are you talking about?
This man killed 8 nurses. The night nurse here under the bed. She told on him in court about the murders in 1966. Richard Speck was convicted and sentenced to 1,200 years in prison. Richard Speck! Richard Speck! Richard Speck! Richard Speck. Richard Speck tried to get out on parole. He was denied it 6 times. Richard Speck was denied parole. Many people say he was a crazy madman. They said Richard Speck must not be paroled from prison.
What?
Richard Speck! Richard Speck! Richard Speck! Richard Speck!
Jack. It's a slow down. The track slowed down,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks because of the tragedy of Richard Speck. Call for some lighter tempo.
And it didn't for
Larry Nevers and Walter Butson.
Well, that was it. There was a protest involved that needed energy. Possibly. What's with the crowd noise?
All right. Hey, it's Wesley, man. He handed it.
Ah.
is a criminal. He is a dangerous human being. He is an asshole. He'll kill you and put you in the graveyard. Richard Speck! Richard Speck! Richard Speck! Richard Speck! Rock over London, rock over Chicago, Ford. Quarkiest job one.
What?
What's going on, Wesley?
Okay, Brandon, let's wrap up the Wesley Willis with the five essential Wesley Willis songs. I saw you brought up that little story on your computer.
Oh, yeah. Some of them aren't, some of them aren't actually available. They're not embedded anymore.
But I'm intrigued.
We can find them,
so
right?
Number five was Jesus is the Answer.
That's on that album.
Yeah. Number four was Northwest Airlines.
That's on that Best of album.
There's an album?
Yeah, so I was playing those off of.
Number three, The Chicken Cow.
Of course. Prize not number one.
Number two is Cut the Mullet.
Yep.
Oh, Cut the Mullet.
I thought
huge.
That was going to be one.
What's one?
One is, of course, Rock and Roll McDonald's.
Chicken Cow is three.
Jesus is the Answer. Number one, I'm going to do this song again. Number two, what? I'm going to do this song again all the way up your ass. And number three,
can we
I'm
skip
gonna
two?
Fuck your ass up like in a car crash.
Can we skip
and
three?
And number four, I'm going to fuck you up like a goddamn
what
accident.
What the hell are you talking about?
Jesus is the Answer.
Oh, this is with the full band, remember? The fiasco?
Oh. This is live?
Yeah. I think the band takes away from him.
Wait, someone
Prime is playing or what?
I know.
Jesus is the Answer. I'll tell you about the time when
terrible.
Jesus was coming.
Yeah, cut it.
Jerusalem.
I'm suddenly engrossed with the idea that someone decided that, hey, we can make money off this guy. Just put a band around him, play live.
He tours.
He's a lunatic.
Mm-hmm.